Every once in a while in my preaching, I say something like, well, if I were God, I wouldn't have done it this way, but I'm sure you're glad that I'm not God. I kind of feel like I want to talk to the people who are in charge of the Revised Common Lectionary and say, did you know today was Father's Day? Were you paying attention to the calendar? Because this gospel lesson on this day, not exactly the best way to start the message. I'm hopeful that in the course of this conversation, we can find redemption. Just as I'm confident in our lives and in our relationships, we find redemption in our faith. We find hope for the separations that sometimes happen in families, and some of the tensions and bitterness that can sometimes happen in families. And we pray that that goodness of God, that forgiveness that we have in Christ, radiates out into our relationships, especially in our family. Committed. God calls us to be committed. He asks us to reach beyond our own desires and our own inclinations to be committed. I was asked recently to think about this idea of commitment, and it dawned on me that as long as what I want and what I desire takes precedent over whatever it is I'm committed to, I'm not really committed. Committed probably means at its heart that I commit myself more to something else than my own wants, my own desires. And that's undoubtedly here in this calling, in these texts that we look out today. But it is a hard truth that we find in these early verses of Matthew, the reading today, chapters 10, verses 21 to 23. No one likes to be pegged a deceiver or one who is untrustworthy. But Jesus wanted his disciples to know that even though it was God's call on their lives to follow him, it was not going to be easy. It's important that you and I, as followers of Jesus, understand that following Jesus, that being disciples, is not easy. That there are times when we're going to be faced with opposition. There are times when people are going to seek to stand against us, to make fun of us, to isolate us, because they don't want to hear what Christ has to say. They would rather follow their own desires. As followers of Jesus, as ones sent by Jesus into the world, we need to know, even before we start the journey, that there are going to be times when everything we have and everything we are is demanded of us. And when I say demanded of us, I mean we have to set it aside to follow the will of our Father in heaven. Jesus said a bit of good news. Maybe you can find it in this calling. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. In the struggle, Jesus says, remember that at the end is salvation. You are serving the one who brings salvation, who brings encouragement. I chose this particular side, Jesus calling, because I know that there are many people in our congregation and literally around the world that read Jesus calling as a daily devotion, as a word of encouragement. Encouragement to not only face the struggles of their life, but to face the struggles in their life by following the call of Jesus. The second word there is, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. It reminds us that there's a rescue at the end. It's not just that we endure and endure till victory. It's that Jesus returns and saves us. Jesus rescues us as he did the people of Israel in slavery in Egypt. So make no mistake, these texts are abundantly clear that being a disciple of Jesus, answering the call to come and follow me, is difficult. It's a struggle. It's a challenge. I can't help but think of those who say, isn't everything in worthwhile in life that is worthwhile a challenge, a difficulty? To which a part of me wants to say, no, it doesn't have to be that way. I want it to be easy. But it isn't. And in fact, often our commitments grow. They're strengthened. They're actually encouraged when we work through the struggle to live them out fully. They take on greater meaning, not only to us, but to those to whom we're committed. I can't help but think the same is true with God. God journeys us through life, helping our faith to grow, our confidence and dependency on him to become stronger and stronger as we grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. John 15 puts it this way. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that is why the world hates you. Remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. It's just strange that when we read the Bible, when we study the scripture, when we hear the words of Jesus, we can somehow still deceive ourselves into thinking that if I'm following the will of God, it should be easy. And if it gets difficult, well, then that must be God is closing the door. No, not necessarily. Maybe God is testing your commitment. Maybe he's challenging you to grow and depend on him more fully. Maybe he wants you to live by faith and not by sight, not by knowledge. Maybe he wants you trusting in him and not just in your friends or your family, not just in your experience or your abilities, but to trust him even in the darkness and struggle and uncertainty, even when others turn against you. But I want to stop there for a moment. I want to give you a caution. Often when we read these texts in Scripture about struggle and difficulty and challenge, we pull the Scripture out of context and we seem to want it to speak to all of life that is difficult. But these texts are talking about it being difficult to follow Christ. These texts are talking about the challenges that come our way when we seek to be obedient to God in our lives. Sometimes even those closest to us don't understand it and will stand in the way. It's hard when they do that. We want their encouragement. We want them to be behind us. But it's about following Jesus. Now, is life difficult? Indeed it is. Do we face challenges all the time? Maybe in our health, maybe in some other way? We certainly do. It's been a rough several weeks under COVID-19 and under the injustice and protest and those issues that are rampant now throughout our world. It's been tough here in Tucson with the fire up on the mountain and some of the homes of our friends and families and maybe us being threatened, and still not under control some 2 weeks later. It's scary. It's difficult. But it's not necessarily about our discipleship. These texts want us to realize that choosing to follow Jesus means taking up our cross daily and following him, even in the midst of those challenges. It means putting God first. I pray that my children will put God first over me. I also pray that the text in the Gospels today that say my children will stand against me will never happen in my experience. I can't imagine how challenging and difficult that would be. But there's a word also in our readings today from the prophet Jeremiah. It's good in these instances to listen to the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I will remind you that there's another book in the Bible that Jeremiah wrote. It's called Lamentations. If anyone understands the difficulty of following the call of God, it was Jeremiah. Some people say that nothing Jeremiah ever did was ever really fruitful in his lifetime. It just made everybody mad because he was preaching a word that God would bring punishment to the people of Israel for their disobedience. He was bringing a word of warning, but they didn't take the warning, and therefore what he warned them of actually happened. And it was heartbreaking. I mean, so heartbreaking that he comes to this place in chapter 20 of the book of Jeremiah, and he says this, "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all day long. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction." Jeremiah is telling the people what God has told him to tell them. And I think Jeremiah is saying to God, "Could we please bring some good news? The people are ready for it. I'm ready for it. We need some positive words." Oh no. Violence and destruction. "For the word of the Lord," Jeremiah says, "has become for me a reproach, a derision all the day long." Wow. No thanks. Don't want that calling. God, please choose somebody else. And in fact, it sounds as though Jeremiah actually tried that. He actually tried to say no. Listen to verse 9 in Jeremiah. This is what it says. "If I say to myself, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, there is in my heart, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Jeremiah wants to opt out. He says, "You know, enough is enough. I'm just going to be quiet for a while." And God just won't let him not do what God is calling him to do. He struggles against it until he can struggle no more and steps back in to being the obedient prophet. Now, even Jeremiah doesn't have the last word as a negative word. And I love the fact that as he moves to the end, well, I don't love the fact that he talks about vengeance, but I mean, after all, his friends, the text says, his friends are conniving against him. They're conspiring to catch him so that maybe one of the words of the prophet that he speaks don't come true, so he gets blasted as a false prophet. They're ready to pounce. And he moves, "Lord, bring vengeance upon those who want to bring vengeance upon me." I don't care for that part. But as he comes to the end, he does move to this place, this glorious place where he says, "Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. In the end, I will trust in the Lord." In the end, after the struggle's over, I know that God will see me through. He will rescue me and hold me up. It's an encouraging word. Now, I want to stop there a moment. Because sometimes we think that what would be best is everything just being Pollyanna. You know, why doesn't God just make everything nice and everything easy? And I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. It's not reality. The reality of our lives includes the reality of struggle. There are times we need to be rescued. And just pretending that it's not so, pretending that it's all good, doesn't make it so. In fact, sometimes it just makes it worse. You see, it's not only the word of the Lord that is burning to get out. The reality is when we stuff the differences, when we stuff the tension that exists in our relationships, even in our families, it usually finds a way to boil out if we don't step forward and deal with it. And one of the things I love about the Word of God is it speaks not to what we wish the world were like, but what it is actually like. And it reminds us that we, even in the midst of that struggle, even in the midst of those relational struggles, we can have hope that as we seek to follow God, He will be near us. He will give us strength, and in the end, He is victorious. I love a reading that we did not read today that is a sign for today, which is Psalm 91. Listen to these words as we move toward the end of this message. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust, for He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Especially today, I love that word. He will deliver you from the deadly pestilence. I think the disease, this COVID-19 reality, is a deadly pestilence, and I pray that God will deliver each and every one of us from it. Our hope is in the Lord. The calling on people of God, the calling, as Jesus said, come and follow me, has two very strong dimensions in Scripture. The first is the great commandment that says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a reminder that our call to love and be committed to God is a call to ultimate commitment. That is, nothing and no one is higher than God in our lives. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor. I think it's important to remember that love of God comes first, because sometimes we have to focus on the love we receive from God, the love we have for God, in order to turn to our neighbor and love them regardless. Love them because of the love of God, not because of what they've done or left undone. Love them because God has called us to love them, because God has forgiven us so that we can forgive them. If we only love our neighbors when they deserve to be loved, it won't happen very often. But if we love our neighbors because God first loved us, we bring love, we bring restoration into that relationship. We bring forgiveness and strength and goodness into our world. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And then, of course, the calling to go and make disciples. Go and invite others to follow Jesus as we follow Jesus. Go and bring the grace and love of God to others in the gospel so that they can receive the same forgiveness we have received. And help them by looking at you, by studying the word, by discussing the word, to live as Jesus called us to live. Indeed, help them to struggle even as we struggle to be ambassadors for Christ in a world that may not want that ambassadorship, that may not want to hear the word that God has to speak. And my prayer for us today, even though it may not sound like good news, is that the word, the truth, the love of God will so burn in us as it did Jeremiah, that we cannot not speak. Was that double negative used in the right way? That we cannot hold it in. That we share it, even when it's hard, even when we feel alone, knowing that we never are, because Jesus is with us. Amen.